We're talking today with Tom Sell. Of course, Tom, you're with the Combest Sell and Associates, and you've actually walked through in concert with the former House Ag Committee Chairman, Mr. Combest, the last farm bill, 2008 farm law now. As we think about all that's gone on this fall, the closed-door, hurry-up farm bill attempt, you know, give me maybe an overview of what you saw as it developed.
Well, I have. I've been with Combest. We were together in the 08 farm bill on the outside. Of course, I also was a staffer for him in the 02 farm bill and in the ARPA bill prior to that when he was chairman of the Ag Committee. I was his guy on the committee and got to work through that in some very difficult times in agriculture. Ag policy is always difficult to pass. So, you know, your chairman, Frank Lucas, has a very difficult proposition in shepherding a bill that's going to be good for producers through the House of Representatives, particularly after these recent elections. You know, you have so many new members of Congress. You have this attitude in the country of, you know, we're kind of fed up with Washington, and anything that Washington puts its hands on is bad. And so it's a real challenging environment. This super committee process wasn't chosen by Frank Lucas, wasn't chosen by Debbie Stabenow or the other leaders within agriculture, but it was a statute that was put into place to try and address this horrible deficit problem that we have in Washington, D.C., running $1.5 trillion annual deficits adding to a $15 trillion debt. So it wasn't by their choice, but you had this legislative construct, this statutory construct, by which if the ag leaders could hitch on and make their contributions through this package, it would be subject to a straight up or down vote on the House floor and on the Senate floor. They could do their patriotic duty, give to this deficit reduction need, while also getting a farm bill done. And that really, it presented a very incredible opportunity from an agricultural perspective. Now, was it ideal? No way. I mean, they had to move a lot of pieces, you know, within a couple month time frame to try and get this done. Were they able to communicate everything as well as they would have liked to have? No, but I will say, I think they did a pretty remarkable job. You know, and there was a lot of press around it. I'm sure you reported on this thing the whole way through. There was nothing really secretive about it. Mm-hmm. But everyone started calling it the secret farm bills. They were telling everybody what all was in it. So it's that deal in D.C. If you don't like something, attack the process. And this process was certainly attacked a lot. I think more so than if people really understood what all had to be done, I think they'd be really appreciative of the way in the leadership that particularly Lucas and Stabenow from Michigan put forward. You know, it's never easy to lead. You always have the critics sniping at you, but they were able to craft a package balancing all the regional differences and at least make a submission to that super committee, the only area of the federal government that was able to do that. So we really have something to be proud of in agriculture. Was it perfect? No. And the good news is now we're going to have, you know, if there is good news, we'll get another chance. We'll get to refine and improve the policy from here on out. I know Chairman Lucas is excited about that and others are, but I tell you, he, in particular, as a leader, you know, with his broad shoulders, did a remarkable work in bringing the competing interests together behind a package that could have been good for agriculture.
So, with those pieces out there now, and obviously no real bottom line as far as if that's going to be the chairman's mark or not necessarily, you know, what will be some of the things, how's this thing going to come together then the first 3-4 months of 2012? Can it come together?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I fully expect that they will begin a new round of hearings to look at what was done, to see what could be improved. And the same dynamics are still at work, but I tell you, the lessons learned and, you know, at the staff level, at the member level, and developing relationships, developing trusts that maybe were a little bit skeptical before this process, you know, they've kind of won 90% of the battles already. And in a lot of ways, the details are important, but the bigger hurdles are just kind of the political dynamics. And now that they've built that trust with one another, I really see a good ability to get something done next year if the overall government allows it to. You know, I guess there are bigger problems in Washington, D.C. that keep me up at night, that worry me about, you know, can this Congress get much of anything done? With the president who seems to be more interested in, you know, these November elections that are coming up and a Congress that is interested in that as opposed to, you know, doing the right thing. So there are some big picture challenges, but I tell you, from an ag perspective, I think we got to feel really good about the leadership that's in place, the package they've put forward, the ability to provide some tweaks to that to improve it, yield some savings, but also leave ourselves with a quality safety net, good conservation programs that are continue to foster a strong and dynamic ag sector, hopefully coming into the next few years.
Congressman Lucas last few days told us that basically that $23 billion reduction, that probably is just going to be a starting point now because, you know, they were not able to get the super committee successfully through to their conclusion.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, even throughout this year, you had a Paul Ryan budget, which would have cut $48 billion, and you had the Biden commission, which would have cut $35 billion. So, you know, it was a big deal for Frank Lucas and others to be able to put together a package that would have had more manageable reductions in terms of what you can write policy with at $23 billion. There is a fear that that becomes a starting point, but hopefully enough goodwill was bent that also becomes the end point. I mean, $23 billion is significant. That's about, you know, a 25% reduction to the commodities baseline in agriculture. That's more than any other sector the government is taking. You go much beyond that, and you really undermine your ability to write a good farm bill. And that's why Chairman Lucas was able to settle on that number. It's why they were able to build consensus, and they were able to construct something that would at least preserve that baseline and provide a safety net. Should you know, the ag economy is great right now. We've all got to say that. Obviously, we're dealing with a terrible drought. But in terms of commodity prices and the level of investment and excitement in the agricultural world, you know, it's really good. And the idea is we want to support and sustain that. And should things turn south, which they certainly could do, then have a system in place that's going to kick out some assistance and keep those farmers in business until the next time the cycle goes up.
Direct farm program payments, that's the poster child of cutting back on farm program spending over the last several months, really last year or so, in fact. Are they dead? Are they going to disappear in the final 2012 bill?
In the packages they constructed, there weren't direct payments were going to be replaced with a counter-cyclical mechanism, actually a couple of choices for producers. A lot of folks have been saying for a couple of years that farm program payments are, or that direct payments in particular, are not defendable. I've never agreed with that. I spend a lot of time defending them, and I think they're pretty easy to defend as a tailored risk management tool for producers who bear an inordinate amount of risk in our economy. Frank Lucas never said they were undefendable. And so it's really frustrating when you get a lot of farm groups out there with all the critics and haters of agriculture that are out there. They use our own words against us when they see Aggies saying that these things aren't defendable. Nonetheless, I think the real question is, in a time of budget austerity for our government or a need to reduce spending, does it make more sense to turn those payments off when times are good, but have them where they can turn back on if markets go south, if the dollar strengthens radically and commodity prices go down? Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think that's the conclusion that Frank Lucas and others came to and thought now would be a good time to, you know, if ever you're going to get rid of direct payments, now is a good time because you can leverage that into a better safety net based on the way that the Washington budgets work. So I think it's likely, given those conditions and those beliefs are continuing to exist, it's likely that direct payments are going to be gone. But you know, again, thanks to the foresight and the leadership of guys like Lucas, I think they can replace them right now with a quality safety net, while also yielding savings and kind of doing that patriotic duty to support the need to reduce our nation's deficit and debt that we're passing on to future generations.
Last question, Tom. That has to do with the timing. Congressman Lucas told us this last week again that while his intent is to get something written in 2012, he's wondering a little bit out loud now about, you know, there's not much moving in the Congress right now at all, if anything.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do as a fallback? Do you do a 1 year extension? What do you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's everyone's intention to just as it is every year that a farm bill is expiring, to get it done and in place ahead of the expiration of the previous farm bill. You know, if you don't do that, the current law automatically reverts to 1949 law, which is a soup that no one wants to get into. So it forces you to do something in some way. I think if they can't get consensus around a package, a new direction to go, or if it's just too big of a legislative lift that maybe the leaders in Congress or the president just aren't willing to put the energy forward on, then I think you have to look at some sort of extension, which from a baseline standpoint, I know that it you know, you have a real risk of eroding the baseline and just making this job tougher on down the road. So I think for that reason, the leaders, Chairman Lucas, Chairwoman Stabenow, are going to be looking, you know, hook and crook for anything they can find to hitch this farm bill on. You know, have some meetings early in the year, have some public hearings, improve the policy, try and get the farm organizations and groups behind them, and then be ready to hitch whatever wagon they can find.
Lobbyist Tom Sell with Combest Sell and Associates. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.